May the Lord help us to commence our wake evening service by singing hymn number 1068 to the tune Sardis 659. Hymn number 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint and die. Guilty, but with heart relenting, overwhelmed with helpless grief, prostrate at thy feet repenting, send, O send me quick relief. Hymn number 1068 to the tune Sardis 659.
reading together this evening, let us turn to the book of Psalms. And we'll read two Psalms, Psalm 25 and Psalm 31. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, and firstly we will read Psalm 25. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And now Psalm 31, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow thou thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily or secretly for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Let us leave our reading there this evening, and may the Lord give us each a spirit of real prayer. Most merciful and gracious, long-suffering Lord God, our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us that reverence as we come before thee this evening. Give us, Lord, that solemn realization that we come before one that sees all things. What has taken place already this day, in each life here, that which will yet take place in the remainder of this day, in the lives of all thy people, but Lord, just not thy people only, for if thou art not in control of everything, Lord, thou art not the one true God. But we bow before thee as such this evening. The one true and living God, who worketh all things together for the good of his people, that guides and directs, that chastens and afflicts, that strengthens and encourages. And so tonight, help us to do more than bow our heads in prayer, but to be bowed in humility before thee. Yet, Lord, what right have we to come to thee tonight unless we come through thy dear Son? Lord, thy people can come unto thee tonight at the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And Lord, maybe there is one or another with those needs tonight, with those pressing burdens and desires as they have come together this evening. May we know that we do not gather in vain, but may we say, as we leave and go on our way this night, that we rejoice to come and worship thee. So help us to do that. Remove in the middle of another busy week those distracting thoughts that we may have. Remove, Lord, any wrong desires that we have come with this evening. Prepare our hearts to truly worship this night. For thou knowest. Thou knowest, Lord, where we all are. There are those that are strangers to thee here tonight. Lord, may it be the case that thou wilt come and touch them and draw them by thy irresistible grace. Lord, those that may be fearing and doubting their salvation, Lord, give them that clearer light upon thy word. Those that may be fearing lest they fall, Lord, help them to persevere and to see in thy word that whom thou hast called, thou cannot forsake. So wherever we are tonight, Lord, truly draw near. And convict us, Lord, more and more of what we are by nature. Give us eyes of faith to look more strongly to a precious Christ. Make our hearts more teachable by thy Spirit, so that we know and learn more of thee. That we may indeed have that sweet hope, that solid ground that we are placed upon, that we may not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, that we may not be trusting wholly and solely upon our feelings, but that we may be led deeper and deeper, yes, into a right head knowledge, but from that, a deep heart knowledge of thy precious working. Or may we know thee, dear Lord Jesus, as the friend of sinners. May we know ourselves as the chief of sinners. May we know thee, our Father, as that loving heavenly Father. Oh Lord, may we fall before thee, one and all. But Lord, we gather round thy word and we pray that tonight it may be of that instruction to us. For how frequently we have come to the week evening service and there has been that which has been needful for the days to come. And yet at the time we didn't even know it. May it be so tonight. But Lord, we sometimes come with those peculiar needs which need to be met, or we desire them to be met as we gather. But how sweet are those times when let us go before and meet our need before we even know it. My God shall supply all your need according to those riches which are in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, what riches they are. May we see them tonight and be given grace not to lay up those treasures on earth, but to lay up those heavenly treasures. Our eyes may we look away from ourselves unto thee, and that we may truly worship this evening. But Lord, we come tonight and we pray for all that are here and those unable to gather this evening. We pray for those that may be at home with the children, to help them as they may listen in if they get a chance. The parents here, do grant much wisdom as they try and bring up and their children in this era and navigate them through the many difficulties that there are. But Lord, it is not just difficulties for the young, it's difficulties for the old as well. But Lord, help us to truly be those right witnesses to them. And as those that gather here week by week, may they be instructed in thy word, may they understand a little of what is being preached, may there be that clarity and clearness in the preaching so that all can understand. And that, Lord, we may see the fruit from the preached word. Pray for those in further education and employment to help them in their pathways. And Lord, do go before them in the future steps where they're at this age, so many things that are uncertain. Lord, graciously appear for them all and guide and direct, and above all, work in their hearts. Pray for one at the desk here this evening, help him with his continual labours in thy name. Give him that strength to carry on. Give him that fresh matter week by week. Lead him more deeply into thy truth and help him to open it to those that he labours before. May he have those encouragements from time to time and see that thou art with him. Be with his loved one too as they share this pathway together. Oh, thou knowest their needs, and we pray do go before them both. Pray for the deacon here to be with him with after his operation, to continue to grant that healing and that alleviation from that pain that he has been in. May he, Lord, know that it has been good for him to have been laid aside for a reason and see the purpose in it. And be with his loved one likewise, and all that they do and care for this place, Lord, to reward them in it. Pray for Beryl to be with her in her age now and the increasing weakness that she has, to help her day by day, week by week, and those occasions where she may be able to come out and attend a worship service. Lord, may she be able to come frequently if she has the strength. But Lord, thou knowest the smallness of the congregation here now and the reasons why. We pray, Lord, that there may yet be thy hand seen in these things. If it be thy will, there may yet be a building up. If it be thy will, there may be yet a returning of those that have gone, whether elsewhere or whether completely away from worship of thee. O Lord, do draw back, but draw in those that have never come before. And may we yet, Lord, truly see thy working in this place. Help one another here as they meet and mingle with friends or colleagues or various others, Lord. We pray that there may be those opportunities that arise to speak well of thee, to point, Lord, to the reality of heaven and hell, sin and salvation, and that we may not be those that hide our light, but may be willing to share it, may be willing to go out into all the world and speak well of Thee. Grant grace to do so, and words, Lord, where we feel to fail. Pray for the churches that we are connected with in one way and another. Lord, the varying needs that there are, Lord, do be with them. And we would pray for our brethren in the ministry that have undergone those probationary periods to go before them in this waiting period or period of decision, whatever it may be, Lord. Go before them and guide and direct them, and so draw near, and their families too, at these times. We pray for the churches abroad that are connected with us. We remember John Hart in Australia, to help him in his labours out there still, and Mr. Bass in America as well, help him. And may thy rich blessing rest upon those. But Lord, we do not just pray for the churches we know. We pray for the one true church throughout the world. Lord, we pray, whether in this land or in any corner of the earth, thy hand, Lord, will be working as we know it is, and we thank thee for it. We look upon our land and grieve the lack of spirituality and the gross wickedness that there is about. But we know there is thy favouring hand upon many, Lord, throughout this earth. And yet may we be given much grace, Lord, to desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. To know that thou wilt come when thou seest fit. But Lord, do not delay. And gather thy people home and judge the earth. Oh Lord, give us that longing to be in glory. Give us more and more that desire to be free from sorrow, pain, suffering, sin, distress, uncertainty. Remove that dark glass that is between us so that we can see thee in all thy glory. O Lord, that is the prospect for thy people. Lord, help each one here to know that it is for them and to find rest in it. We pray for our nation at this time, Lord, be with those in power and authority. Lord, we tremble at what the future will hold, but we live in this election year now, as expected at some point. We pray that those God-fearing men and women in Parliament may keep their seats. We pray others may be raised up, Lord, to stand alongside them. So at the end of this year, Lord, we may marvel at thy work. Lord, remove our unbelief. For no man has any power unless given by thee. Help us to look to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Lord, may that be where we look as we gather now. So we turn to thy word. We pray that it may be a living word tonight. Lord, may it be something that someone has been praying for. May it be, Lord, that we have not come in vain, but thou hast chosen the word to bring. Thou wilt give grace to deliver it. And by thy Spirit thou wilt apply it. Without thee we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. So strengthen us all as we gather round thy word, as we sing thy praises. Lord, come into our midst. Leave us not, Lord, we pray, and truly, truly, come now. Forgive all that we have asked wrongly. Make up in giving where we so fail. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 172, 13 Walton 430. Hymn number 172. Jehovah's awful name revere, in humble praise with holy fear, in glory throned, divinely bright, all worlds are nothing in his sight. The numerous, proud, self-righteous host, who fondly of their something boast, will find their something nothing more then what will prove them blind and poor? Hymn number 172, 30 in Walton, 430.
may the Lord be pleased to help us each this evening as we gather around his word. And will you turn with me please to the first psalm that we read together, Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verses 4 and 5. Psalm 25 and verses 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. We read together this evening these two psalms, Psalm 25 and Psalm 31, both psalms of David. And both of them showing confidence that David had in his God to go before him. Despite the enemies that might have been about him, despite the calamities that were in his pathway, whatever they were, we do not know, we are not told, we're just told it is a psalm of David. But we know David had many times where he needed the Lord to show him the way. Whether it was in his pathway of wrongdoing, and he needed to be shown that way back to his God. Whether it was the time of direction, where he needed to know where to go, where to hide from Saul, what to do. Many other examples we could think of in his life where he needed a guide. And in this psalm, there is for us all comfort and encouragement. And as it goes through this psalm, it alternates really between prayer and meditation. And prayer and meditation. Yes, this psalm is a poetic psalm, a psalm of 22 verses, meaning it is an acrostic psalm, with the first letter of each verse being the first a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And wherever we see that in the Old Testament, in the Psalms or in any other book of poetry, with either 22 or 44 or 66 verses, it is often the case that there will be that rhyming, or not rhyming, but that acrostic method used. Used why? So that they could learn it. So that they had it stored up in their minds. It's no different today, is it? We can find it maybe easier to remember hymns than we can certain parts of the Bible. Why? Because there are those promptings with a rhyming couplet, and we can almost fill in the words we do not necessarily know. Oh, and what a benefit it would be to every one of us tonight if we knew this psalm off by heart. Because we have enemies. We may have those mighty enemies, as it says in the hymn, without. And there are those times when we are surrounded by, not literal enemies maybe there we are. But those seeming enemies or matters that surround you and overcome you. But there are also those enemies within, aren't there? Satan and his angels that seek to pull us away from our God and pull us down. If only we could remember just the first verse. So, in those times, our eyes, where do they go? Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. But this evening we wanted to try and look particularly at these fourth and fifth verses. And there is some repetition in it. So excuse me if I go over the same points, but it so came to me in looking at these verses earlier today. We have three ways in which the Lord instructs his people. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Then teach me thy paths. Then lead me in thy truth. So we will try and look at those together this evening. And then to examine a little at how the Lord does teach, does show, does lead. And then lastly, to consider the God of our salvation and what it means to wait on Him. Show me thy ways. Is that your desire tonight? Or, rather than saying, show me thy ways, O Lord, really you are saying, I want my way. Is that what you want? Your way. Because if you do, you're not alone. Because I'm frequently like that. I don't say, show me thy way, O Lord. I say, give me my way, O Lord. But we have to prove. As for the Lord, his way is perfect. And in proving that, there can be great humbling. Show me thy ways. And what way do we want? When we want our way, what way do we want? We want a nice wide way. We want a nice easy way. We want a nice smooth way. Without any difficulties or any obstacles and any hindrances. What we want, left to ourselves, when we want our own way, is really to be left so that we can worship ourselves. We want, really, the pathway of sin. We want the pathway where we can do everything that our sinful inclinations look to. It says in the Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there are those ways that seem right before the Lord begins to show us his way. It's the way of the world. It's the way of pleasure. It's the way of fame and notoriety. But it's not the Lord's way. Because that way is the way of sin. And what is the wages of sin? It is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Our way is the way of death by nature. God's way for his people is the way of eternal life. Are you looking for that way of sin tonight? Just leave me alone, Lord. Well, it wouldn't be Lord, would it? Just leave me alone. Just let me get on. Then, when the time is right, if I think it is right to do so, then I will come back to you. Then I will seek after you. No. That's not the way. But it's our way, left to ourselves. But there is another way, which is our way too, not the way of sin necessarily. It's the way of the Pharisee. It's the way where we are ultra religious. It's the way of legalism. It's the way of ticking all the boxes and thinking that through our outward deeds and that which we do, we think we're something, and there can be a comfortable way in that. I'm good. Of course I'm good. I've always been to chapel and I've always attended and I've always looked the part. But that's not the Lord's way. That's not the way of salvation. What did Jesus say to that way, to the way of the Pharisees? Oh, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, Jesus said to those others, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, why? For to be seen of men. The way of the Pharisee. And that's the way to guarantee God's anger. Those eight ways we read in Matthew 23, where he cries, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of heaven. You compass sea and land to make a proselyte. And he goes on and on and on through that chapter. The way of the Pharisee. The way of making the outside of the cup and of the platter clean. While within, we're full of extortion and excess. That's not the way, dear friends. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy ways. And my thoughts went this morning in considering this, the advice of Moses that he gave to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 28, where he lays out those foundations for blessing and cursing. Blessed shalt thou be if thou follow the commands of the Lord, blessed in the city, in the field, in here, there and everywhere, wasn't it? He went on to say, but what about the curses? It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he goes on to say, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Is it our desire this evening to walk in the way of the Lord? Is it our prayerful desire, show me thy way. Show me thy way. That was the cry, wasn't it, of Jehoshaphat when he was in such trouble. That was his desire. Show me thy way. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. So what did he do? But our eyes are upon thee. Really, he was saying with David, show me thy way. Let us touch in the way of providence for a while, as we feel led to do so. Show me thy way. It says in the hymn, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And I was thinking about that verse the other day, and I don't know, I haven't looked into it really, but it came to me. Why does the hymn writer say, plant his footsteps in the sea? And it came to me in this way. You put your footsteps in the sea, you can't see where they have been. And that's how it is oftentimes for the Lord's people. God plants his footsteps in the sea. They cannot know really where those footsteps are. But if he leads them in his truth, if he leads them on in the way his feet are going and guiding them, there's a comfort there, isn't there? Guides us through the storm. Show me thy ways, the pathway of providence, dear friends. We sometimes have difficult things before us. We sometimes have things that are against us. And we do not know what to do. Have you come up crying, show me thy ways? Or maybe it's the way of salvation. You've been walking in the way of sin. You've been walking in the way of the Pharisee. And that way hasn't led to comfort and peace and satisfaction. Show me thy way. What is the way of salvation? Knowing you've got nothing. Falling in humble, complete dependence upon him. So he may be your all and in all. So you give up any hope of your own self-righteousness. That's the way. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. But to show the way, you know, we need eyes to see, don't we? We need eyes to see. But when the Lord shows a way, we don't need literal eyes. We need spiritual eyes. We need those eyes of faith. For there are frequently those times the Lord's people, well, it's the way we are to walk. To walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll touch on the opening and the way the Lord leads in providence in a while as we get time. But when the Lord opens a door, there is to be that walking by faith. There is to be that trying of the door, that walking up to it. The Lord has every power to shut that door. And he gives his people the strength and direction to walk through the door. We can become paralyzed by fear. But whatever way, whether we try a door we think is open and the door is shut, if the Lord was in it, and it was his will and his way to let us think we were coming to somewhere, and then he shuts it, It's his way. It's the way of the Lord, if we are his. You know, we sometimes have to prove these things. I've had to prove these things. At the time, and I cannot go into detail, but you look at the impossibility of the situation, the heartache at the situation, and you think, why has that door shut? I was sure that door was open. But if we go humbly in the fear of the Lord shuts the door. It's his doing. It's his will. It's his way. It's for us to humbly fall before him. To continually be brought back to this point. Show me thy way, O Lord. Show me. Give me eyes of faith, Lord. They were obviously clouded up with something. Give me clearer eyes to see the way that thou wilt have me to walk. Show me thy ways, O Lord. And we must move on. Teach me thy paths. And it came to me in this way. You know, we can be shown something, but we often need to be taught it. And I thought of an apprentice. If you have an apprentice, you want to mould that apprentice. You really want that apprentice in a trade to really be a copy of you. You want them to work as you work. You want them to have that instinct about whatever you're about to do, that they will instantly know what you're about to do. So you have that interaction where you almost don't even have to talk to each other. But how can you do that? And how can we do that with the Lord? When we have an apprentice, they stay with us, they stay by our side for years. You spend more time with them than you do with your wife. And why? Because that's how we're taught. And that, dear soul, is how you will be taught. As you spend time with the Lord. Jesus said about his disciples, didn't he? About the blind leading the blind. He said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. This is what the Lord does when he teaches the paths. He doesn't abandon them. He goes alongside them. Yes, they may get in a tangle. Yes, they may make mistakes. But his eye is over them as he teaches them his paths. But sometimes that teaching can be easy. Sometimes we can pick up the lesson easily, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we are so slow to learn, we have to come again and again and again. But if we are one of the Lord's, he will teach us his path. But I wanted to get on, as I mentioned earlier, how does he teach us? How does he show us? He does it in a multitude of ways, God does. But primarily he teaches and shows his people through his word. We are taught in his word that which we should not do. We have quite clearly the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. We have many other passages of clear instruction throughout the Word of God of what we shall not do. We have also many passages of instruction of what we should do. Whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do, we should glorify him. But there are many other passages we could look at. But he teaches us through his word. And how does he teach us? You know, we shouldn't be looking for teaching in God's word by Well, we need to know a way and a pathway. Maybe that's the place, or maybe that's the place, or no, that one doesn't quite fit, we'll go back there. That's not the way the Lord teaches us. That's not the way the Lord teaches us, like a biblical lottery. He teaches us in the way of His Word by us being in His Word. By Him being alongside us in His Word. So really it becomes, as it were, second nature to us. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And yes, there may well be in the Lord's wisdom, as we read through His Word, those occasions where a verse, and it does happen, a verse jumps out at the page from us. The Spirit directs and teaches us and guides us in that way. There may be that time when we tear a page off on the calendar, and you know we do it 365 days a year, but once or twice a year, it may speak to us. I'm not denying the Lord works in that way, but the Lord truly leads His people by being alongside them through His Word. And then on those special occasions, then on those rare occasions, and you know I've had it and I'm sure you have had too, you'll be reading through the Word and suddenly a word or a verse is in bold. Not literally, but it feels like it. And it speaks to you. That's how He teaches at times. But how does He not teach? He never teaches contrary to His Word. And if ever we are tempted to pluck a verse out of the Bible that goes against the theme of the Bible, then we're doing wrong. We can prove anything from the Bible. I can prove from the Bible there is no God. It says in the Bible there is no God, but it says before it, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He teaches through His Word, but another way He teaches and leads and shows His people is what? It's in the pathway of providence, dear friends. You know, and we must never ever neglect that pathway. Because I've had to prove, I've tried to make the Bible fit my way. I've tried to legitimise my desires by fitting Bible verses to them and convincing myself that it was right. By going to a service maybe and something quoted, trying to fit it to my case. But you know what we cannot do? We have no control over the hand of providence. When the Lord remarkably, somehow or another, leads us, brings us into something, causes something to fail, you cannot deny the Lord has done it. There is a Puritan paperback, I think it's entitled The Mystery of Providence, I can't remember, I think it's by Flavel, but you know that speaks much on that. How God speaks through providence. And if He is showing you a way, has taught you a path, leading you in providence, do not turn a blind eye to it, but examine it against the Word of God. Put the two and two together. Say, can I see the Lord showing me His way in this? Is He teaching me through that? Another way He leads and instructs and shows His people is through those He places around them. I can't think of the proverb, but it says, it speaks, doesn't it, about how wise it is to consult others. And you know how frequently we have to prove that. They consult other godly men and women about something, a pathway. And they go, I already knew you were being led in that pathway. Or they say, are you sure? It's a comfort to have those in the faith that we can go to and turn to. Those godly men and women, far more experienced than we are in matters to turn to. That's the way the Lord Jesus as well. It was the way we in the New Testament times, in the churches there. In those pastors and teachers over them, they helped them in that way. But finally, before we move on, how else does the Lord lead His people and show them His way? By His Spirit. And we must never forget that. Because, do you know what it is to have a pathway to walk in that you've never wanted to walk in, you've never looked for, but you're made willing to do it? In fact, you're made more than willing to do it, you want to do it. Which is so against your nature, so against what you would have been like previously. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit. Applying words, the word of God to your heart. It's the work of the Spirit, opening your eyes to see that He has been working through your providential pathway. This is the way He works. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And we must just touch on this briefly. But leading, you know, it indicates to us, doesn't it? Us being held. Us being led gently along. Almost like someone would guide a blind person or an elderly person who is uncertain and unsteady. Lead me, O Lord, the psalmist says in Psalm 5. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. Is that your prayer? That's my prayer. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Make thy way straight before my face. It's the same thought in the lines of that hymn, 4:6-2, isn't it? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hold me, lead me, guide me with thy powerful hand. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Now, if, dear friends, we could look at this literally in the way this psalm is, that the God of his salvation, the God that would deliver him from maybe his outward enemies. And maybe that is what you're looking for tonight. But there is a much deeper sense to this, obviously. Our real salvation that we're in need of. That salvation from our sin. We need to be shown the way of salvation. We need to be taught the pathway of salvation. We need to be led in the truth of salvation. We need to be led to Christ. Then if we are led into that truth, then we can say, now I see, whatever betide, whatever the pathway, whatever the way, whatever the difficulty, now I see whatever betide, all is well, if Christ be mine. Thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. We must just touch on this. Because frequently there are those times of waiting, on the Lord, waiting for him to further work, to further instruct. But how are we to wait? We're not to wait in a fretful spirit, judging him, blaming him. How are we to wait? We're to wait humbly, firstly. Humbly knowing that it is his right, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ in his kingly office, he has that right to reign and rule over us as he pleases. Whatever pathway, rough or smooth, flat or hilly, it's his ordained will where we shall walk. But it's for us to lie humbly in that way, submissive at his feet. I had my mind on a hymn, but I can't find the verse I was thinking of. But it is for us to just be humble. Humble in the way the Lord is working. Humble. Because when we're in a humble spirit, what are we doing in our life? We're giving him glory. We're bowing before him and saying, really, we're nothing. Whatever pathway you're leading me in, Lord, I haven't got the strength to do it unless thou art with me. We're to be humble in it. But secondly, we're to be earnest in waiting. This waiting, I didn't have time to look it up before the service, but generally this word wait in the Old Testament, it is a apprehensive, not fretful, but an apprehensive, constant looking and expectation, an earnestness in waiting. It's not a sitting back and just going, what will be, will be. And you know, the illustration I like to use is, you know what it's like, those of you that have got young children or have had young children and are expecting a visitor, they don't just sit there and in a chair. If they're excited and expectant, they'll be looking out the curtain. They'll be up and down, up and down. And that's how the Lord's people are to be when they're waiting for him. The earnestness. That, oh Lord, come and appear for me. It's not an impatience, as it were, but it's a real zeal for the Lord to appear. But when we have been shown a way, taught a path, led in a certain direction, and we are called to wait, thirdly, there is to be that believing that what he has said will come to pass. This doesn't mean that we blazingly go on when a door is shut, but if we believe that door is still open, but the Lord has still not quite made the way clear, there is to be that faith. That if, in providence, he has led us, if by his word he has led us, if by his spirit he has led us, if by godly counsellors he has led us, there is to be that believing, earnest, humble expectation that he will bring it to pass. But lastly, in that waiting, there's to be that persevering sometimes. Well, patience is needed. In the pathway one or another may be called to walk in, persevering grace is required. It's a great word, isn't it, to persevere? And it's a good characteristic to rightly persevere. Keep on trying. Keep on knocking at the door of mercy. Keep on wrestling in prayer. keep on seeking after the Lord, whether it be in providence or grace. Begging continually, humbly, earnestly, faithfully, and perseveringly, that He will guide. And my thoughts go in conclusion to that verse in Isaiah 30. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. May the Lord be gracious to us all. Whatever is before us each, may this be our cry tonight. In this psalm, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day, and we could carry on. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Amen.
May the Lord help us to conclude by singing hymn number 1106 to the tune Bethesda 297. Hymn number 1106. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Hymn number 1106, the tune Bethesda, 297.
Jesus, O God, we thank Thee for Thy word and what instruction there is in so many of those psalms. And may it be our prayer with the psalmist David that we may be led, that we may be shown, that we may be taught. Not only, Lord, in our day-to-day lives, but in the way of salvation too. Lord, may we be looking to that rock. Prove that on Christ, the solid rock, we stand, and find all other ground is sinking sand. So be with us now as we leave Thy house. May Thy word remain with us, and all that has been amiss in our worship to forgive and remove from the minds of the people. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.